I'm out here street preaching in front of the Spam Museum. I can't believe it. We didn't come here for that. We came here because we're headed to a street preach this weekend. And we drove through the town and we said, let's fly our gospel signs. We like to do it as we're traveling. I'm a full-time street preacher. And she, my wife said, there's a Spam Museum here. I said, how can I go through and not stand outside of the Spam Museum and hold gospel signs? So you stop. How can I help you?
No, I'm just interested in are you like a non-denominational type of preaching?
Well, let me preface that question with a question. Who started all of the religious organizations that you look at today? Jesus or man?
Well, I wouldn't say necessarily every church building you look at, but there are people who follow Jesus.
No, but who started all the denominations? Name one and we'll talk about where it was started. Do you belong to one?
I was raised in the Lutheran church.
Okay, so that started in the 1500s by a man, Luther, not Jesus.
But later on, I met a young man, we talked, and he actually helped me realize I needed to look back at just the scriptures only and not,
amen,
not traditions of man.
Amen. Good, good, good. And that's good.
I had surrendered my life to Christ about 30 years ago and was...
30 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, probably more than that. But...
You look like you're about my age. I'm 60?
A little bit older than that.
Okay. So where do you go now, sir? Who do you belong? Do you gather with a body? And I'll answer your question.
Okay.
Do you gather with a body?
I do. In fact, we help with some of their worship music on Sundays.
What's the name of it? Could I ask?
Well, it's a... more of a non-denominational group. We just go by Cedar Creek Church, which is...
Cedar Creek Church in Austin here?
No, actually, we're helping with one in Hayfield.
Hayfield. Okay, I'm not from here. I'm just traveling through.
Right.
So I'll answer your question for you. So we came out of the evangelical flavor. My wife was a lifelong Lutheran,
uh-huh.
The ELCA brand.
Okay.
And then I was pretty much a pagan my whole life. My family was kind of a backslidden Roman Catholic mother and an agnostic father. All my brothers and sisters got shoved through catechism in the Roman Catholic Church, and they all hate God today because of that. They saw the hypocrisy, the wickedness. My father, who was an agnostic, spared me, the youngest child, from going through catechism. I have no idea why. My mother got her way with my dad every step of the way, and I think it was God's sovereignty. It came my turn, and my father stood up to her and said, "He's not going. I'm tired of that religion." She said, "What? He's not going." And so my father in heaven and my earthly father spared me from that religious indoctrination. So I grew up, I think, better, not being indoctrinated with anything, but I lived a sinful, wicked life in the world. When I was 18, I heard an assemblance of the gospel about who Jesus was. The only Jesus I ever heard was when my dad used his name in vain, like 20 times a day. And I was like, who is this Jesus Christ? And my whole teenage life, I thought, this world's crazy. It's going to burn. It's going to blow up. It's going to die. I was a teenager during like the Iran-Contra and all that stuff. And I'm like, this world's going to be nuclear bombs. What is the point of all this? I saw my grandmother get buried, lowered in the ground, and I, at 12 years old, I'm like, why? We live, we die, that's it? Well, I heard an assemblance of who Jesus was in a man-made religious building, but they didn't teach me the true gospel, but I learned who Jesus was, and I learned about the Bible. Well, I allowed them, and I placed my faith in Christ then, but I wasn't born again. I allowed them to let me look at their hypocrisy, their worldliness, their false doctrines more. I should have went into the scriptures and sought after Jesus Christ. I got bitter, my fault. I left for 20 years, bounced in and out of a few evangelical churches for a little while, but then said, forget it, same thing, gone. And about 15 years ago, at the age 45, I was driving as a salesman, and I said, Lord, I know you've always had a call on my life to follow you, obey you. I don't know what that call is exactly. I'm done running. I know my ways are wrong. I know that gospel I heard was wrong. I know the real gospel is by your shed blood, I must come and place my faith in you and your perfect work. I need your perfect work. I can't work my way to heaven. And that I must repent, and I've never fully done that, Lord. I've always held on to my sin, the world, my desires, my flesh. Lord, I'm ready to pour it all out now. So I laid it all out. And I believe, as Acts 5 says, God gives the Holy Spirit, not to whoever just believes in him. Doesn't say that. To those who obey him. God's not a fool. God's wise. He knows whether you or I are ever truly going to serve him like Pharaoh. If you go back and read the story of Pharaoh, God hardened his heart, right? And people go, that's so mean. God hardened his heart and took away his chance of ever finding salvation. Go read what it says in Exodus. God says, I know he will never let my people go. God knows the future. God knew Pharaoh's heart was set against him, and God said, I'm going to use you as a vessel of wrath for my glory. And God said, you want a hard heart? I'll show you what a hard heart looks like. And he hardened his heart even worse. So I was born again, and I decided to walk in holiness and obedience according to the scriptures, not the world and man-made religion. Came home, the first person I preached to was my wife, Sister Amen. My name's Tupos, by the way. What's your first name?
Ron.
Ron, nice to know you, Ron. The first person I witnessed to, my wife, said, what do you mean, I'm a Christian? And I said, oh. I said, you're not even close, and neither am I. She goes, what are you talking about? And at the time, she'll tell you, she was a rabid, feminist, worldly, carnal, drinking woman. I was a worldly, carnal, drinking, partying man. I knew she wasn't going to listen a lot to me. I said one thing, and I think it was of the Holy Spirit. I said, you must be born again. She's like, what? And I said, go read the Bible we got sitting over there with the dust on it that we haven't picked up for never. Go read it. She went and read it, and God instantly did a work in her heart. It was what she was always longing for. No one. She's almost 40 years old. No one ever preached a biblical gospel to her. Everybody just said, come to church, do religion. She came back to me a few days later, and she was rather upset at me. You know why? She said, I can't believe this. She said, I'm seeing things. I'm seeing the light. It's what I've wanted. She goes, you knew this all these years, didn't you? And I said, I did. I said, it was inside me. I knew that I was on the wrong path, and I knew that if I died or you died, we're drinking, we're partying, we're going to hell. She's like, why didn't you tell me? She was like righteously angry, probably so. And I said, I was a hypocrite. How am I going to come to you and say, hey, you got to be born again? Well, I'm smoking, drinking a beer, fighting rowdy, all kinds of stuff, watching worldly sports and carnality. So God knitted our hearts together as husband and wife, and that was 15 years ago. And ever since we decided we're going, not going to let man-made religion deceive us, we're going into the scriptures, and we have tested everything against the word of God. And what we have found, Ron, is that every denomination you can name is invented by man. Every single one you can name has false traditions of man. Every single one you can name does not live the true gospel I just preached to you, and let me share with you why. Many people will say, well, almost unilaterally, Christ shed blood, resurrection for our salvation, right? Almost everybody, unless they're a full-blown cult, believes that. Catholics believe that, Lutherans do, evangelicals, non-denoms. And by the way, a non-denom is just like an evangelical church without some name. It's the same thing, and we'll go over why. But here's where they fall apart, repentance. Repentance is not, I feel bad about my sin, God forgive me, and I keep doing it. Repentance is, I feel bad about my sin, I know I'm going the wrong direction, I'm following false ways, lies, carnality, the flesh, the culture. I got to go the other way and jettison those sins. Because the Bible is clear, I don't know what you believe. In Hebrews 10:26, it says, there's no sacrifice for willful sin. Do you believe a practicing sodomite can go to heaven? He's practicing. How about a practicing adulterer? How about a practicing drunkard? How about a practicing person that tells one lie? You're right. The Bible says that one lie will condemn you. How many lies put Adam and Eve out of the garden?
Just one.
One. So what we like to tell people is that we're not saved by keeping good things. We're saved through faith in Jesus Christ, as I preach you. But the fruit, if you really have Christ and the Holy Spirit in you, the fruit is that you are vetting your life, jettisoning your life. You are preaching sound doctrine, and you are going after every false way that you could ever find in your life, whether it's cursing, whether it's pagan holidays of Christmas and Easter that God never ordained. All the evangelicals and non-denoms do it. And if you read Mark 7, hello, officer, how are you? I can't hear you, officer. I
wanted to check on the museum to make sure.
No. I'm on a public sidewalk. Am I on a public sidewalk?
He just wanted to make sure that you weren't. No, I'm not sure what he's doing.
Yeah, he actually has no legal right to contact me. He needs to know that because I'm not breaking any laws. But anyway, I love officers. I've never been arrested, but some of them believe they are the law rather than just upholding the law.
Now, do you believe that a person who wants to follow Christ can struggle with certain sins that they, you know, fall into once in a while?
Well, struggle with certain sins, perhaps. Officer, gospel card for you.
Thank you.
Why are we talking today?
The museum.
By the way, I love you. Thank you for your service.
Thanks, appreciate it. No, the museum just wanted us to check, make sure everything was okay and whatnot. So that's all. That's the only reason I'm talking to you. You can stay here and do that. I don't care.
I'm a street preacher. I've been doing this years. I mean, they call the cops on me if I cross the street. And so I always tell the officers, why are we talking? Did I break in? Because I've never been arrested yet. I don't want to be.
Hopefully
and so,
not.
Yeah. So I just stay on the public sidewalks. I don't go in museums. I don't yell at people, chase people. I have a body cam. No, you don't have one, but I have a body. Oh, you got one up here. Yeah. So I have a body cam. So when the people say I'm chasing people and beating them with my sign and screaming cuss words, I go, officers, you want to watch my whole preach right here? They lie.
Fair enough.
People hate the gospel.
They just wanted us to make sure everything was
okay. Yeah, thank you, officer. So, okay. Check out that gospel. We warn people. You expect me to keep the law today, and I will. God's going to ask you when you die one day, did you know my son? And then he's going to say, it's not enough. Satan knows Jesus, knows of him, believes in him. It's not enough. Have you followed him, been born again by his shed blood, and then come out of the world and the church system? The church systems are the corrupt way that Satan has invented. I don't care if it's Roman Catholic, Lutheran, Baptist, non-denominational. I don't belong to one of them. I belong to Christ alone. There's a novel idea. You don't have to belong to an organization. You belong to Christ.
I'm good. You can
yeah. Answer. So test yourself with that gospel. Let me know if I can ever help you, officer.
All right. Have a good one.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you, service. Okay, so yes, Christians can struggle with sin, but what does that mean, sir? You just said to me, a sodomite, I like to use biblical terms, a sodomite can't keep sleeping with his boyfriend and claim salvation in Jesus.
Not willfully.
So what does he have to do, sir?
He has to turn away from that.
Stop. And he has to struggle and try hard. And then if he falls and he repents and struggles and tries again, he can keep getting cleansing and forgiveness, but not while he's in it. And so what I would say to the non-denoms and the evangelicals is they're keeping false ways. Let me give you an example. Christmas and Easter and Good Friday. Did you know Good Friday? I'm watching a police officer now. He's going over talking to Sister Amen. He's probably telling her she's absolutely fine. Hold on. I'm just watching.
That's fine.
Yeah, no, hold on. I don't. Yep, he's walking away. Okay. Yep, my wife's giving him a gospel card. Good. So, they're keeping many false ways. And can I, in love, you're my neighbor, I love you. We probably came just for you, and maybe we came just for that lady. Sometimes we travel and we preach to one person that's a sheep, and we pour truth on them, and we go, thank you, Father. That's maybe exactly why we were there. And by the way, I travel, support myself. We don't take a penny from people. We don't want people's money. I'm so against the selling of the things of God. It's wickedness. And we'll talk about the chosen in a minute. So things like Christmas, Easter, Good Friday. Did you know Good Friday is a lie?
Yep.
Do they practice it?
Not really.
Your church doesn't do Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday services?
Well, Resurrection is every Sunday because Christ rose on the first day.
He did. It's a lie. He didn't rise on Sunday. No, it would be impossible because he would be a liar. Because how many days did he say he would be in the grave?
Well, I believe that he actually was crucified and buried on Wednesday.
Exactly. How many days did he say he would be in the grave, sir? You're right. He died on Wednesday.
Jonah, 3 days and three nights.
If you go into Sunday, that's four.
Well, if you're going...
It's Saturday.
If you're going from evening to evening as the Jews did...
Doesn't matter. Wednesday night to Thursday night is one. Thursday night to Friday night is two. Thursday night to Saturday night is how many?
Friday night.
Three. And then days. Wednesday into Thursday is 1 day. Thursday into Friday is 2 days. Friday into Saturday, 3 days. You go into Sunday, it's four. The Bible doesn't teach that he resurrected Sunday. That's a Roman Catholic tradition. Good Friday is a Roman Catholic tradition. So I have an article on that on my teaching blog. Thousands of articles there for free. So I have an article on that. That's a lie. Did you know Jesus said in Mark 7, if you practice man-made traditions, you're worshiping God in vain? If you know that's a lie and you keep doing it, God says, I don't want your lies. I'm of truth and righteousness and purity. There's no darkness and sin in me, and you're offering me lies. You might as well take whatever you or I want to do and put it on a plate and say, God, this isn't true, but we're giving it to you to worship, for worship. Does that make sense?
No.
No. So the pagan holidays, Christmas and Easter. Christmas, is Jesus wasn't born December 25th. The Bible doesn't tell us to celebrate it. It is a Roman Catholic holiday. It's merged with the winter solstice. Easter is Ishtar, was a pagan goddess they merged the Christian faith with. But let's talk about worldliness. I don't know anywhere in America, ready? And if you say I'm wrong, you tell me, we will come visit it. And if you're right, I'll be the best worker and the best member there. I don't know anybody in a building anywhere that is calling people out of the world to holiness and righteousness, preaching that biblical gospel. Most everybody we see is worldly, meaning They're into either politics. That's not of the Father. That is corruption. They're into pride and vanity in how they dress. Women showing off their bodies, jewelry, makeup. Men walking around showing off their bodies. You see it all over, don't you? Even in the church. This is supposed to be our temple, right? And actually, you'll see how my wife and I dress. We dress very different than the culture. Guess why? Doesn't Romans 12 say don't conform to the world? We're not supposed to be like the world. God actually dressed us in Genesis 3 by killing blood and putting us in tunic-like garments, and it never changed all through the whole scriptures. And Proverbs 6:17 says, a proud look. If I wore makeup and jewelry and a cool shirt and everything, does that mean I'm kind of proud? God says that's an abomination. Just like we talked about, sodomy is an abomination. So the churches don't call people out of the world. And so they're not preaching and living the biblical gospel. And I would go to your garb. So you got Binge Jesus. Is that like a ministry, or is that just somebody came up with that?
It is a form of ministry.
Yeah.
It tries to help capture people's attention.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so I understand that. It, to me, it's kind of profane because I used to be a binge drinker. People are binge sexual addicts with porn. People are binge into drugs. People are binge into hunting and fishing. When you put Binge Jesus on it, it's like a worldly thing. I find that to be kind of profane. But let's go to your T-shirt, The Chosen. So do you have a pastor? Men that are over you that help teach you at that church?
Well, there's one that is the primary...
Okay.
Has he
taught you to discern things? To walk in holiness?
Well, I always tried to discern between what's of God and what's not of.
Have you tested The Chosen? It's a mini-series for anybody that doesn't know. It's a mini-series. Have you tested that to the Word of God?
I do. I mean, in a sense, I look for if there's any heretical...
Do you know the facts about
if
it?
If there's any heretical teaching coming out
First
of it.
First of all, it's entertainment, number one, and it has actors in it. Do you know in the Greek what the word actor means?
Hypocrite.
Very good. So you're watching a bunch of hypocrites. The Bible says to flee that. Second, they're selling it, making tons of money. I know they'll say, well, no, they're not selling it because you pay into it and people get it for free. They are making money off of Dallas Jenkins is making money. Jonathan Rumi. So they're selling the things of God. They don't preach the biblical gospel there. They don't. They're not calling anybody out of the world. Jonathan Rumi, who plays Jesus. Do you know what he is? He's Roman Catholic. I have a testing of The Chosen on my website under the false teachers area. And he goes and lays on people's graves to suck power out of them. He did that before he did the movie Jesus Revolution to get power out of Lonnie Frisbee's grave. He believes in praying to Mary. He believes in the Lecto Divina prayer. He believes Jesus is literally in the blood and the wine. You're uniting to all this by promoting it and advertising it. It's promoted by Mormons. Did you know that?
I know that there's Mormons involved with it.
No, sir. The Mormon Movie Theater Distribution Company is the one that distributes it.
That'd be Angel Studios?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
They're Mormons. They go and they do their sets in either Texas or I think it's in Utah somewhere at the Mormon set. The Mormons have a set. The Mormons are an antichrist religion. They don't even believe Jesus is God. They believe he's Lucifer's brother. So do you see, if you truly are born again, I'm not saying you're not, but if you truly are born again, following the Spirit, testing all things, you're going to see the lies and fallacy of your non-denominational church. I'm sure they don't teach women to cover their heads. They're not teaching you to come out of the culture. They're not teaching you to discern. They're not keeping you away from pagan holidays. If you'd go much deeper, maybe that's why we met, you would see that you're going to walk a much narrower path because the churches in America have gone like this with the world. I'm putting my fingers together. They've united to the world. But Jesus says this little problem everybody has that's in the church system, united to the world. My sheep aren't of the world. They come out of the world. Paul said, don't conform to the world. Israel was never like the world. And we don't keep Torah, before you ask, we don't keep any kind of Torah law. We believe in some pre-Torah things, and we believe in the New Testament. So there are pre-Torah things that we still keep today. And dress is one of them that I talked to you about. That happened in Genesis 3. Are you married?
Yeah.
Okay, one woman, I hope?
Yeah.
Not a man?
No.
All right, because I have to ask, because you know the culture we're living in. God ordained that marriage in Genesis, 2? And then God ordained us to take dominion. So if a grizzly bear comes and attacks a group of people, you and I are going to wrestle to the ground and kill it. We're going to take dominion to save our neighbor. So all of these things, don't drink blood, Genesis 9. Don't worship idols. Don't be in sexual immorality. That's all pre-Torah. Then Torah comes, 613 laws for the nation of Israel. And so a lot of people have that confused, and now they think, well, we're in the new covenant. Jesus shed his blood. We can just do anything we want, and I know we shouldn't sin, but we're ready. I hate this. I do. I hate every false way. Psalm 119, 104. People say, well, we're all going to keep sinning. We're a bunch of sinners. Can you take me to one Bible verse in the New Testament where God ever calls his holy saints sinners?
No, because
you won't find it.
They have been
redeemed.
Redeemed, but they're not condemned along with the world.
Exactly. So we can fall into sin, and when I'm practicing sin, you could say, hey, you're acting like a sinner. Repent. Now I come out, I'm a saint. And there's a big difference, Ron, between stumbling into sin, maybe falling back into an old pattern of sin, or practicing sin. And I believe, till you can prove me different, nobody has yet in 15 years, that the culture and the non-denoms and the denominationals and evangelicals and every church system I know of, I believe they are practicing sin because they won't repent. I have rebuked hundreds, probably over 1,000 pastors to their face. Just like talking like this and rebuke them. And Ron, even the stuff they admit, they cannot defend in the Word of God. Christmas, Easter, Good Friday, worldliness, false gospels, women not covering their heads. These men admit they can't defend that. Ask me how many pastors have gone back and told their congregation, we got to repent of these things that we can't defend in the scripture and their sin. Ask me how many men I know that have actually done that. Out of 1,000.
Probably not very many.
Zero. Not one. Not one. Do you know why? It's their profession. It's their job. They think if they fill up the building, they're doing good. When they need to clear the building out and maybe have two people left that really want the truth and then meet in a park, meet in a house like the Bible people, like the New Testament church did. I don't like the word church, ecclesia. Ecclesia, that word church is a bad translation. Ecclesia means called out. You know that. So you might have been called out some from the world and you're going to church now. You need to be called out even further. Sunday is not the Lord's Day.
And I was thinking about that because it says that when the women came to the tomb, the sun hadn't risen all the way up.
Yeah.
So it still had to be from a carryover from the night.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but he was gone already. And again, 3 days, three nights, he's not a liar. See, the evangelical, the non-denominational Jesus, he's a liar. He's either in the grave less than 3 days and two nights, or if you believe Wednesday, he's in there 4 days. He's not a liar. It's Wednesday to Saturday. Thursday was the high Sabbath. John 19 tells us that. But again, that's just one, it's not small, but that's one matter. And if you know these things and you keep them, and here's what it's going to cost you to follow Jesus. It's going to cost you everything. In other words, all those people that you like there and you're friends with, if you say, you know what, I got to follow Christ in spirit and truth. And here's the thing. You can't go and sing and unite and pray with them if they keep false ways. Otherwise, you're complacent of their sin. You have to stand out from that. You have to call them out of their sin and their false ways. And if they comply to the Word of God, then they're your true brothers and sisters. If they won't, Romans 16:17 says, mark those who cause division. Now, people say I'm divisive. I am. I take that title. Jesus was too. He said, I come to bring a sword. But Paul, let's finish that verse, that are divisive, who have left sound doctrine, and avoid them. So the people that are divisive is the Catholics doing their man-made ways, the evangelicals doing Luther's ways, the non-denoms doing their worldly and even their pagan holiday ways. You know who's not divisive? The true saints of God standing going, no, we will not change doctrine. This is what the New Testament body looks like. And so look around you in the world. Most of the people that walk by that I witness to that say they're Christians, you can't tell the difference from them in the world, how they live, how they dress, many of them how they talk. You think that's of God?
Of course not.
No, but why do the pastors allow that, Ron? To keep the buildings filled, to keep the money coming in. So I really hope that you go a lot deeper. My website's designed for somebody like you that seems like I can tell the conscience, the Holy Spirit's convicting you going, I can't give an answer for these things. I can't keep practicing them. I'm going to lose my church family. What do I do? Hey, you just met some godly people, and I know brothers that would love to encourage you. We know saints scattered all over the world. We don't have a building, but we gather online, and we encourage each other via a video forum, and we hold each other accountable. We Bible study. I'm doing verse by verse. We Bible study. We hold each other accountable, and it's a wonderful thing to be held accountable with godly, holy saints, not people that are going to help you in your compromise with the world.
What's your view on what Peter talked about on the first day of Pentecost and preached preached about Christ rising from the dead.
Acts 2, yeah.
And they asked him, what should we do? And he said, well, you need to repent.
Yep.
And you need to be baptized,
right,
or immersed.
Right.
In order to have or allow God to put his Holy Spirit in you and to...
Wait, say that phrase again. I lost it.
God to put his Holy Spirit in
you. Yep. You need to be born from above. Yep.
Yes. And your sins are forgiven. In other words, you're in a
blotted
state,
out.
In a state of grace.
Yep.
So, how does baptism in your mind play into a conversion of a person?
Yeah, baptism is just a symbol, like the bread and the wine. There's nothing mystical. There's nothing, what's the word, efficacious about it? Efficacious meaning it doesn't really affect your salvation other than its obedience. So I look at baptism the same way as a woman covering her head, as a man wearing a tunic, as us not using vulgar language, as us not doing pagan holidays. It's the fruit of your salvation is obedience. So baptism plays no part in your salvation, because go to Acts 3 where Peter talks next. He doesn't even mention baptism. He says, repent and be converted. But I do teach water baptism. I believe it is a symbolic cleansing. Like if we meet a new believer and we preach to him and he confesses Christ and he wants to join the body, we actually want to witness him going down in the water. And the purpose of that is God sees your heart. Everybody saw it. Your brothers see your heart. And so when you're living now and they go, hey, like let's say you go down in baptism and you're united to all us. And then we see you going off in sin or something. And we say, hey, Ron, we ask you a question. Didn't we all witness you go down in the baptism of water with Jesus? What did that mean to you? And you go, you know what it's like, Ron? It's like a marriage ceremony. You don't have to have a marriage ceremony. Two men and women could just commit to each other and do it. And I don't believe in the worldly weddings with the music and the drinking. But it is nice if your brothers and sisters witness it. Because then my wife can hold the woman accountable. Hey, I heard you commit to that man for the rest of your life and to obey him. He's not telling you to sin. Why aren't you obeying him? And I can say to the men, hey, you're supposed to love her like Christ loved the body. Why are you not loving her? Why are you treating her this way? Or why are you being selfish? And we witnessed it. And so there's power in that. And I think that's what water baptism is. It doesn't save you. If you repented and crossed the street and got hit by a truck and weren't water baptized, it's not going to keep you out of the kingdom. There's many people that teach water regeneration baptism. That's an absolute lie. Cornelius had the Spirit in Acts 10 before he was ever water baptized.
Yeah.
So no, I just believe it's a powerful symbol. The whole Bible is full of beautiful archetypes. A tunic. A tunic is an archetype of Jesus shed blood. The ark of Noah is an archetype of Jesus. We got to get in the ark. God sealed him in with closed doors. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. We can turn away. We could chop our way out. Noah could have chopped his way out of that ark. He was a master woodworker. He didn't have to stay in there. He could have said, I'm out of here, and jumped ship. What would have happened to him? To perish. And that's faith and works going together. Noah believed God. Noah built an ark. Noah stayed in the ark. Noah endured. The gospel's right there. He believed. When he sinned, he repented because he was righteous before God. Now he wasn't born again, but the Spirit of God came upon Noah or the men in the Old Testament, and God spoke to him directly and all of that. So we see the gospel. We even see the gospel in the thief and the cross. Ready? People say, yeah, your gospel's wrong. And I say, why? They go, the thief on the cross. All he did was believe and he went to heaven. I said, not true. He was a wicked thief. He goes to the stake. Actually, there's another lie. Jesus died on a stake or a tree. Did you know that? He didn't really die on a cross. That's a Roman Catholic dogma.
Yeah, I don't believe the cross should be the total upright thing.
It was
probably had a cross beam at the top of the
post. What it was they had a post, a stake, a tree, and they hoisted him up with the cross beam and it made the shape of the cross. But the Bible says, this is really important, the Bible says, cursed is anyone who dies on a tree. Deuteronomy says it and Galatians 3:13 says it. And Jesus died to break the curse for us. So he died on a tree. That Roman Catholic wooden cross, that's a lie. But anyway, I lost my train of thought. What were we talking about there? I went off on the cross.
I don't know if it was about obedience and baptism. I can't remember where we stepped into next.
Basically, you asked about water baptism.
You asked about Noah, about the fact that he listened to obey.
Yep. Oh, I'm sorry. Thief on the cross. Thief on the cross was a wicked sinner. He ends up on the stake with Jesus. He places his faith in Jesus. We all saw that. He has a repentance to him because he says, we don't belong here. We belong here. This guy doesn't. So he had a repentance. There was some spiritual change in his life. Now, he wasn't born again because Acts 2 didn't happen yet, but he had a change of heart. We read about the new heart in the Old Testament in Jeremiah. So he had a change of heart, And he actually had fruit of works. What did he do, Ron, for works? Do you remember?
Noah?
No. The thief on the cross. What did he do for works? He did something that most evangelicals don't do their whole church life. He witnessed to somebody.
Talked to the other guy.
Yeah, he turns to the other guy and he says, hey, we belong here. This guy doesn't belong here. So he had fruit of that. And then we know he endured to the end because Jesus said, you'll be with me in paradise. There's the gospel right there. So it's not just belief. Belief isn't going to get you there. And it's not the idea, I know I'm a sinner. If you're not running and fleeing from all sin. Hebrews 5:9 says, Christ made the way of eternal life for those who obey him. That's what it says. So we're following him, the one who made our way. And if we compromise and we go for, this is really big in America, fellowship idolatry. And here's what it is. You're going to walk away and go, man, that guy gave me a lot of truth that I can't refute in the scriptures. If you can, email me, call me. But I love the people so much in my church. And I just love being there. And I love the, okay, ready? We didn't talk about this. The fleshly instrumental music. I don't know what they do there, but they probably, if they're like most of them, they have drums, they have electric guitar, they have other instruments, they have people on stages, worship leaders singing. You said you might be involved in that. In the New Testament, they didn't even use instruments, Ron. You know when instruments show up in the New Testament body of Christ, and it's not even the New Testament body of Christ, but you know when they show up? Have you done a history study? And this isn't biblical, but this is history. I could prove it.
I couldn't tell you.
900 years later, in the 9th century, the Roman Catholics brought an organ into their services, and everybody said it's demonic. Nobody used instruments. Do you know why? This is beautiful. You know why? In the Old Testament, everything was outside. They circumcised men's foreskins. They killed sheep. They thumped on instruments. God had them literally hanging the word between their eyes and on tassels to remember him. They were so spiritually dead. In the New Testament, because of the Holy Spirit, in Ephesians 5, Paul talks about we are now the instrument, and we thump our heart, and we make a melody, and we sing with our lips to each other and to God. We have become the instrument. And have you noticed something about God's creation? Animals make sounds. Amazing sounds. Birds, whales, all of that. They make amazing sounds. And guess what? They don't use instruments. They do it from the creation. So we're made in God's image. We make melody with our lips. You know that music is fleshly. It is. We walked up to a Lutheran church the other day at our outdoor worship. Walked up on a public sidewalk with our signs. I don't interrupt people's worship. I respect that, even though I think it's false. We stood there with our signs and waited till it was over, and then I stood there and street preached when it was done. Over half the people, during the music, when supposedly this is worship to God and we're loving God and we're offering this to God, over half of them turned and looked at us, and they were mocking us during the worship music. They didn't have to mock us. Look at my sign. Satan runs the world in church. Repent. Okay, come over and ask about it. It says obey Jesus. They see that we're not against Christ. They were mocking us, laughing, taking pictures, doing all this stuff. Instrumental music has become so fleshly. There was none. In the 60s, they created, I don't take a picture. In the 60s, they created the out of the Jesus movement, this whole idea of using worship music to woo people, all right? And